We'll call the meeting to order. If everyone could look through the agenda, I have a couple things added for the Buffalo Director's Report and the KC Director's Report. So I don't think I'll just talk about those within those. But does anyone else have anything that there's a couple of things in terms of the audit where we just need to make a motion to do some things, but I think that will be covered under Treasurer's Report. The one thing I would like to add under new business is seeking a new lawyer. We need to have that discussion. Sorry, you did. I already told you that. Thank you. Otherwise, I think I've given Teresa everything in the that I had. Does anyone have anything in addition that they would like added?
I just would like to just do a little reminder about our CMS data collection process. That probably fall under old business.
Okay.
And also that national cybersecurity review process. That's like, won't take a minute probably to do.
Cyber what did you call it?
National cybersecurity review.
With these additions, can I have a motion to approve the agenda?
I so move.
Second.
All in favor to approve the agenda, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion passes. We have reviewed the vouchers and signed. Can we make a
I'll make a motion. Make a motion to approve the vouchers. As
second.
All in favor to approve the vouchers as presented, say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Motion passes. Okay. Minutes from the last meeting. Teresa sent all this stuff out, and when I looked at it via our email, I had nothing to add or correct.
I'll make a motion we approve the minutes as written.
I'll second that.
All in favor, say aye to approve the minutes of the general meeting.
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion passes.
Do we need to approve the work session minutes?
Yes. Do we need to approve work? I don't think we have. They're not part of our. Yeah.
We're good there.
Okay. Treasurer's report.
Financial statements for the month of March show that our ambulance revenues are at 65% of the projected revenue for the year, which is 10% lower than our current time of year. It also shows our tax collection so far is at 110% of budget forecast at almost $800,000. And whether we'll receive any further payments, it's hard to say, but that's consistent with our estimate for next year's budget at $800,000 in revenue, and more would even be better. We're also ahead of schedule on vehicle maintenance fee or motor vehicle fees at 89% of forecast for the year. For the past month, our out-of-county transfers generated $2,280 of revenue, which is less than previous months. We're estimating next year it will be about $6,000 a month, so we'll continue to follow that. And all total revenue is ahead of budget, largely due to the out-of-county transfer revenues that were collected. In terms of expenses, there are some small line items that are over budget that don't amount to a lot of expense. I did have a question about the board expenses that were budgeted for 1,000 and have exceeded that substantially. And I think we added some things to board expenses.
Michelle?
We're just in the middle of Dr. Schuler's treasurer's report.
Okay.
Thank you.
Total expenses for the year are at 72.7%, at 75% of the year. So overall on budget for expenses. And our general funds include $876,000 at Bank of Buffalo and CDs worth just over $500,000 at First Northern Bank and another $500,000 at American National Bank. There's a little bit of a discrepancy from what I saw on the online banking today, but I'm sure there are funds coming in and out. I had a total of $101,000 in checking and $845,000 in the money market.
Okay, these would be as of March 31.
Okay, right.
Because it's reflective on the report.
10 days along.
Because you had previously mentioned you deposited
The mill levy
to cover the all these checks, so all that came out, right? I'm assuming that's where that difference is.
Right. So there are two other items that pertain to the treasurer's report, and one is the request to transfer from the money market account to the checking account, so we have a little more of a balance for paying bills, and that should be with board approval and in the minutes. And that request was for $100,000 from the Bank of Buffalo money market account that's currently at $845,000 to the checking account at the same institution, which would raise that balance to approximately $200,000.
So you're saying we need a motion right now to transfer that money?
Yes.
Right? Okay.
I so move.
So we have a motion on the table to transfer $100,000 from the money market savings account at Bank of Buffalo into our checking account at the same location of Bank of Buffalo.
I'll second that.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion passes. And with that, the reason we're doing that is with that audit, they said we do need to make a motion when we transfer that money from savings to checking.
So the other item was something that our auditor pointed out, that once a year we should make a declaration of the financial institutions that are holding board funds. And so Teresa added that to the packet. It's a one-page that declares we have funds deposited at three financial institutions. And this report will be filed annually in January or announced at the meeting or included in the minutes or some official variation thereof. And I don't think that requires a motion. It's just the board is aware that we'll be doing that each year.
Can you explain, and I'm not sure this is maybe the first time it's caught my eye, but the Rural Healthcare District board expenses that we're at 1,741% of?
I don't remember what was added. There were some unexpected costs. One was like a firewall revision.
Okay.
There was some kind of equipment replacement. It wasn't a recreational activity for the board. It was more in terms of operating expenses.
Is that what the added expense for the audit?
I think the audit, wasn't it? That
I can interject. I have a breakdown of all those, and a lot of it had to do with repairs. Ed's Body Shop repair happened in July of 22, and the insurance payment to cover that was received in the fiscal year before.
Okay.
So the expense was in this fiscal year. Okay. So that's reflective there, and then the firewall expenses in here and a few other vehicle expenses.
Okay.
So I can pass this around or just email it to you, but that is why. And there's also an offset to that because the other income shows any insurance payments that were sent against any claims in this current fiscal year, so that $8,632.64 is insurance claims on vehicle repairs.
Okay.
When the repairs are actually in that board expense.
That's just what I was going to say.
Oh, right here.
So it offsets it by that much.
Okay.
All right. Because I was thinking those repairs should come out of police ambulance.
That would seem more accurate in terms of accounting.
Wait, where do we have that?
In ambulance equipment?
No, I thought we
had. Right, it's the line item above board expenses.
And then we had radio / equipment. We don't really have a repair line in there for vehicle repair.
I thought we.
So did I at one point.
Well, the new budget does have.
Oh, okay, maybe it does. Crosby was saying too, because is that a KC ambulance repair? I'm just thinking.
That came out of Crosby vehicle repair and maintenance is over because they had some unexpected repairs that had to be done there as well. That's in Crosby's.
So this
so we
current
wouldn't have a repair maintenance line because that was Buffalo EMS's responsibility, I guess, is why we have it under board expense. Okay.
And that was our question earlier, too, whether or not we should put now Wright Group all six ambulances into the rural healthcare district budget, since they're instead of having Kate. Crosby and Casey having their own line item for repairs and maintenance. We talked about that last time I had the work session, I thought.
We did. I don't think we came up with an answer.
Because when I talked with Crosby the other day, he also mentioned it might be important for him as well to, within his budget, to do a facility maintenance and repair, a vehicle maintenance and repair, and then a like the Lucas and that kind of thing, maintenance and repair,
agreements.
To have it separate out.
Yeah.
But I thought for some reason we had that conversation about that.
Well,
ambulance, there you go.
Yeah.
But it's just not on this. Okay.
Yeah.
So we've included it in our new budget.
New budget.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think that's where I'm confused.
And
thank
the
you,
six
Teresa.
Ambulances were in there for the 22,000 for the new budget. Correct.
Correct.
So that will now take place of this rural health care board expense.
Well, that's the proposal going forward. I mean, there may be reasons I don't understand why it's better to have it separate, but it would seem like, in terms of keeping track of expenses, if we have vehicle maintenance that covers all vehicles, we only have to look at one line.
Yeah, right, okay. No matter where it comes.
It doesn't fit well under board expenses, in my opinion, because it shouldn't really be a catch-all that doesn't explain what it is. So on the KC budget side, those expenses for the month of March were exactly under budget in total, and there were a few line items that were above that would have been education, medical supplies, and the vehicle repair and maintenance lines. None of those were extraordinary And for the month, their expenses are at 75.21% of budget.
Perfect. Okay. Any other questions on the treasurer's report or anything else you would like to add, Dr. Schuler?
No, we'll get into it again on the budget discussion.
Okay. So I believe that was it for that.
So I'll make a motion to approve the treasurer's report.
Okay. I second that.
All in favor to approve the treasurer's report as read, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion passes. Okay. Buffalo director's report.
Well, March was unusually slow for March. Of course, it's not ramping up into tourist time, but it was less than February, which is kind of unheard of. Anyway, we had 47 calls in March, and 8 were transfers, 3 to Billings, 3 to Sheridan, and 2 to the airport. We had total out-of-county transfers. We did 2. And we had no nurse transfers. 22 of those were in town and 25 patients out of town. We had 37 residents, 10 non-residents, 4 canceled calls, 8 patient refusals, and 15 were Medicare, 4 were Medicaid, 5 were insurance, 2 were self-pay, and 3 were VA, and 1 was the workman's comp. And that's a slow month for March, but spring's here. So they say it's going to snow next week. But the parts for MS-106 should be in this week, and it'll be up and running. It can do in town, but without those bags, we're not taking it out of town. That's all I got.
Thank you. Within the Buffalo director's report, Beth, would you like to talk about your request?
Oh. So there is it's called PERCOM, and it's a paramedic program that is, it's all self-paced.
Sorry, I'm still not sure about that.
Not sure.
Sorry, you're not sure about that.
It's all self-paced. It is $5,500, which is about less than any of the colleges around here. And I wouldn't have to take time off at Buffalo UMS, and I could still teach my other classes. But I was hoping that the board would consider paying that. That would also allow me to teach ACLS and PELS and PEP and all of that. And I would include, of course, Casey if they needed ACLS and stuff going forward, if they needed those courses. So.
Where are you at with the, this is something I know they had kind of put it on hold, but the $200,000 training grant that you received.
So the training grant is still on hold, and when I talked to them the other day, they're making some adjustments to that, and they don't know what the adjustments are. I'm afraid they're going to, because they just added EMS to it last year, I'm afraid that they got in over their heads with EMS and have no idea what it is that we do, because we would send them things, and they're like, we don't understand that. I don't understand that. So they finally did approve one class for us, and that's the EMR class that I'm teaching now. But I'm afraid they're going to remove EMS from that grant.
So have you put this as part of your, have you given, because I know they're willing to pay for this. Have you, I mean, from talking to the guy in the past, have you submitted this to them?
No, because I just found this PERCOM program.
Okay.
No, I just found it.
Okay. My only thing that I would like to do is, since you were awarded that grant, is see if you could submit this to them first and see if they'll pay it.
Okay.
Because when I had talked to the guy, he was very much willing to pay for Casey's EMT classes.
Right. But if they, the problem is I'm afraid they're going to pull EMS completely out of that grant. Mm-hmm. So right now, I mean, so we do have like the 200,000, but I think that they're going to cut EMS out of it and not award any more grants to EMS, even mm-hmm. though we've been awarded the 200,000.
I think it's something that I would, at least in my personal opinion, since you've already received the grant and they're still giving you money and they haven't pulled EMS out of that at all yet, is I would like to see you submit this to them and see if they would be willing to cover it. And then if they don't, then we can have that conversation. If they don't, have you thought about, so when would you be, when would you start and when would you be done?
It's an ongoing process, so
you can start whenever.
It's a 10-day, it takes 10 days to get your background check and all that back. So
okay.
If I submitted, it would take 10 days to get it back. So.
Okay. What happened with when we did the KCEMS one is we required them upon completion to sign a contract. How are you... You know, are we willing to do some kind of contract too afterward?
I think Beth said it's like a 20-month program.
It's 20 months, but you can get it. They allot you 20 months. But the first part of it, I don't, because I'm already an A, so I don't have to do some of the stuff that they require. So the first P1 portion I could get through quicker.
Okay.
So. I could possibly get it done September of next year.
Okay.
I think check the grant first, and then if we get shut down there, let's revisit it and maybe have just a brief write-up just so we have a little more of kind of the details and what that looks like. And I think, I'd be supportive, would like to learn a little more on it. I think versus what we talked about with KC, where we wanted to see kind of our investment returned afterwards, where I don't see it as big of an issue because Beth is an A and working as she's doing classes and stuff. I mean, I think it's worth discussing, but I think it's a little apples and oranges just because of that. Mm-hmm. But I agree. I think that's worth looking back at if we flip the bill, right?
Yeah. Okay. That's my only
my 2 cents,
right? Concern is because one KCEMT was only $750.
And then this employees is, of the Rural Health Care District.
And employees of the Rural Health Care District, where this is an employee of Buffalo EMS, but still willing to, it's just, I would like you first to see if you can, because you were awarded that, and I think that since you were awarded it, they hopefully should say, you're sort of invested and maybe grandfathered in.
Be nice.
You know.
Yeah.
Or try to use some of it up before they do, if they pull it. They haven't pulled it yet. Yeah.
We can't submit anything else. No applications can be sent until after May 1st.
Okay.
So.
Well, I think kudos to you for wanting to get your paramedic.
I do too.
Yeah, absolutely. I know, it just puts it in a hard spot when you can't submit till after May 1st. You mean, you can't submit?
I couldn't submit the application, so they're not taking it. So if you pull up their website, it says no applications are being accepted at this time.
But that's just to receive the grant, right?
No, applications.
Okay.
So they give you, they say, okay, each place is awarded to about $200,000. Each time that you want them to pay something, you have to submit another application. So they won't even take any more applications until after May 1st. And then, so I couldn't start until June 1st.
Because they have to know 30 days in advance
Before you start,
yeah.
You can't even start.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay.
Is this a state of Wyoming grant?
It is.
Which is part of the $5 million or however many funding that was to promote EMS?
It's
the workforce. It's the workforce development grant.
Yeah, it may be COVID money, but it's a workforce grant. So
it's workforce training.
Yeah.
It's
Sorry, you might have mentioned, how much is the training?
It's $5,500.
Okay. Thanks.
I'm willing to hear any other comments on it. No.
Well, it's a little bit of a stretch. You're not really planning to be doing paramedic services for the ambulance. This allows you to become certified as an educator for ACLS.
Well, we do. Dr. Goddard has a paramedic protocol that we're pulling in, so we would have we would be able to have paramedics work for the ambulance.
And you'd be the, and your husband also would be.
Yes, and I believe we have an interview with a paramedic from California. So there would be possibly three paramedics working for Buffalo EMS.
Okay.
That would be awesome.
I mean, I feel like it's sort of stuck between a rock and a hard place when you can't start till June 1st, but then it's also possible that it could be fully paid for.
We'll have to.
And my only thing that I would just be, that I feel better about waiting for, even though it would be possibly June 1st, is that your whole first part would maybe be breezed through quicker, so that could maybe be caught up.
Well, it's in the they only allot $4,000 per person. So, if that makes any sense. So, they give us, it's $4,000 per person, mm-hmm. and we had 20 people on our,
I think they went to 5,000.
Did they? I don't remember.
Yeah. It's 4 or 5 per person per fiscal year.
Yeah.
When I looked at the workforce, I think it was 5. And so, it's just that, I mean, that's quite a bit of money if it was to be fully covered, I guess, is my thing. So, while I really appreciate you wanting to do this, I feel like it would be in the best interest of the board to just wait one more month to see, because May 1st isn't even a month. I mean, it's 20 days away. If we could submit it right away May 1st, have it ready and submit May 1st, and then, you know, if you need any supporting documentation, I think we're all in 100% favor of giving you whatever supporting documentation you need that would help you qualify, okay. Is how I feel.
Mm. I think we have to wait that month, unfortunately.
Yeah. Okay.
And then our meeting would be the following Monday, and it might be good timing to make a more informed decision. But,
yeah. Okay.
And then do you have you have the contact there, and I'm sure you do too, but you've talked to them.
Yeah.
I think it'd be nice to see if we could get a little information, just general information on this hold and what the likelihood, because if they say, it says May 1st, we're going to kick that down the road, or we're not doing, you know, at least we could.
I'll get a hold of them and just see, like, maybe from a board's perspective, they'd be more, because he was really, like, responsive to me and everything. And so maybe I can expedite something, or since you were already given the grant, see if we can just get it rolling. Okay.
Or
I will.
What the timeline looks like after May 1st, you know.
Okay. Thank you, Beth.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Michelle, KC Director's Report. Michelle?
I think she's on
there.
Can you hear us, Michelle?
So maybe while she's...
Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Yeah. Sorry, I was restocking my ambulance where you guys
were
listening. So, okay. Total calls was 8 for the month. Total calls was 4 trauma, 3 medical, 1 council. We did trauma for our training this month for hands-on 20 patient stabilization and review of those things going into the summer.
Can you explain the director's report in the notes? It says one call was for lift assist.
That's what I was just calling. So I think that was for, like, lift assist. You can charge them, like, as a Medicare-type charge for a lift assist that goes out. We had four crew members that were out on this call that took over 2 hours, like, on scene to lift this gentleman out of the vehicle, transfer him over into another vehicle, because that's what it was for, was a call out on 387. He got a flat tire, and a family member was coming to get him in a different vehicle, but he's unable to transfer himself in and out of a vehicle. So it just takes manpower to go do those kinds of things. So we don't really have a protocol or anything like that, for lift assist. But it takes a lot of manpower and a lot of time and all that. So I think it was just a suggestion of we should probably get a protocol together for that and make it a billable charge.
Thank you.
On items like that.
Go ahead. So, Michelle, where it says crew of four, you took four EMTs out of KC for 2 hours to do this lift assist? Did you?
Yep. To go lift this gentleman weighed probably close to 400 pounds.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Enough said. I'm not sure Medicare, Medicare will cover a lift assist. I don't believe it does.
I think we touched on that last time, right?
Amazing. But we can come up with, we can talk about that later here, I guess.
Would have been easier to change the tire.
You think?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Triple A. Bill easier.
That wasn't appropriate.
But accurate.
Trying to save money here.
What is it?
Treasure, right?
And I'm sure those calls, you're never turning those calls down, but where do you draw the line of someone that's not injured? Was that
when the roads were bad, too? Is that why it took?
Was that what?
Was that during the storm when the roads were bad, or is that why it took?
So no, it was, I mean, the roads, it was over there on 387.
Yeah, okay, so it's a ways
and,
over there.
And that's what they called in for, was a 911 call. Mm. And I'm sure the gentleman has been like, okay, we're not going to put you into this other vehicle or whatever that can arrive to the hospital, and then the whole circle of events would have turned and gone that route again.
Yeah. Yep.
Thank you.
How's your, one more.
Nope, yep.
How's your class going? Didn't it start in March or?
It started, yeah, at the very end of March, first week. Yep, everybody is doing well. On Saturday, we spent all day with them there, and then we did hands-on skills testing and stuff with them, trying to get them kind of used to that kind of stuff, and everybody seems to be, they're willing to ask for help, and we've been able to all these different meet different times with different groups, and so they seem vested and interested, and they're putting in the time, so that's good.
Thank you. That's all I had, I guess.
Thank you.
I couldn't hear that. Oh, okay.
With the director's report for Casey, I talked to Crosby. This isn't something we necessarily need to vote on because I believe that the money is already in the proposed budget, but he did just want to be transparent and let he is down to very few pagers that are actually working. And with the new people coming on, he had from Comtech, he has priced out 8 pagers that are needed, and they are $468 a piece, or $3,744. And he said that in this budget, his current budget, I believe the money is there. It might just be a need to move a couple line items, but he needs the pagers. And so that is $3,744. But he just wanted the board to be aware if there was any question about that, or if they were good to go ahead and continue with purchase.
Brittany, my opinion is that he should go ahead and purchase them. Just make sure they come out of the right line, even though that line may go over.
Okay.
Just for audit, because the auditors will check us on that. The pagers are a lot less expensive than packing big radios.
Yeah.
And they are easier to use. And
yeah.
So I would make a motion that we would approve that.
And I don't think we really need to approve it.
I think he needs to know that the board's okay with it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. The other thing is that they have 2 Lucases. Correct me if I'm wrong, Michelle. And they are all, the batteries are at end of life. And he had talked to the people who service the Lucas, and they said the battery could last a day, a month, a year. You never know when the battery's going to quit and be done. They're at the end of life of the battery. Each battery, one battery for the Lucas, and I believe they do 2 per Lucas. I could be wrong again, but one battery is $951. But a service contract that covers the entire year, which is servicing it, they come, they full battery replacement whenever you need the batteries replaced, is $2,922.30.
Per device or?
No, for both.
For both.
Total. Yep, it's one service contract. And so technically 4 batteries need replaced at $951. You've already splurged that service contract. And then, like, as I recall, it was KCEMS who the charger broke off inside, or was it you guys? The charger broke off inside the Lucas. So this $2,900 and some dollars would cover them coming, servicing the entire Lucas, making sure, and then battery replacement as well.
Is there 2 batteries in those?
Yeah.
2.
And all 4 batteries are end of life. And it's kind of a safety issue because you never, and the guy said it could be a year, it could be a day.
So are we looking at the 2 CDR. Lucas units in Buffalo and 2 in KC?
Nope, this is just for KC. Oh, sorry. I don't know about.
You know, our batteries last, we have same batteries for 8 years. So.
Well, they received theirs about the same time, and they probably are coming to their end of their life.
This, some guy came out and did something on them, and they are, he said, they're at end of life.
The three grand a year, we don't put that much in our business.
No, but it does. If we had something go wrong, it was a minimum of $1,200, and that's what we were charged for this device. So it's insurance, you know.
Yeah.
If we did it and they replaced all the batteries and we only wanted to do it for 1 year, is that an option, or are they going to take their batteries back?
According to the thing, it's just a yearly contract.
Right.
So it might be.
I mean, if it's almost 4 grand for the for the batteries, maybe we do the service contract for a year. If that's possible,
if
we're not committed too long, we're not going to pull the batteries out, and then we have to buy 4 new ones after that. But
I think it's something that has to be done. But my question is, could that same service contract work be
for the whole county?
So when they come and actually service them, they replace the batteries. It's not a matter of if the batteries be replaced; they do replace the batteries. That's part of the service.
Gotcha.
So you could technically get a new battery every year.
Yes,
Well, there's probably a savings if we service all the units in the county.
Especially if your guys, is, if the batteries are close to the same.
And the district owns those.
Right.
The other thing is you can operate without it, but it's a lot better to operate with it. So
and maybe power numbers, if we go to four and that price doesn't go up all that much, we're getting a little more bang for our buck.
So I'm confused. It's $2,900 per unit or per service. Is that $2,900 for four of the Lucases, theirs and ours both?
That would be.
Let me find that.
Yeah. Michelle?
Because we're one service.
No, this is quantity. This is the two Lucases.
Two Lucases in KC.
For the total amount of $2,922.30.
So if we wanted to add four Lucases, there'd be, that would go up. If we said, if the Rural Healthcare District wanted to do this maintenance agreement for Buffalo EMS Lucas devices as well as KC's, then.
Right. We would probably have to get a separate quote.
Right.
And well, ask them what it would be for four of them.
Let me try and find this.
Well, our life packs currently are under the same contract because the district owns them all. And so the Lucas would be a similar situation. The district owns them all, and we pay on one invoice.
I think it's worth looking into.
I do, too.
Ensure all four units that the Rural Healthcare owns. I don't know why they would.
I think it becomes also a liability issue when you're know your battery is at the end of life and you're in the middle of a code. And
it wouldn't be fun
to try and take it off. And it's called Lucas Prevent On-Site, and the quantity is for two for 1 year. And they gave a 15, it was $3,400 and some dollars, and they gave a 15% discount. Why the discount, I'm not sure. But
can you do the four?
It's annual on-site preventative maintenance, inspection, and unlimited repairs, including parts, label, and travel with battery coverage. So maybe, I have this, it's a company out of, it looks like, Pro Care Services, and there's a guy's name, so maybe I'll give him a call tomorrow and see what it looks like if we added.
Yeah. We're looking at.
I don't think we should delay KC's.
No, yeah.
To do, but we should seriously look at doing.
Yeah, yeah. And then that's the other thing that Crosby had mentioned with this. And then with the ambulances and everything, he felt like within his budget, he would like a repairs and maintenance for equipment, ambulances, and then building repairs and maintenance.
Makes sense to me.
To kind of break up his budget a little bit better. So that is probably, that may be a change that we do see in his budget.
Was he thinking he was going to have to add that to this next, because this would still be in this fiscal year that he would
well,
want.
He had,
so.
And forgive me, because I think I was, I don't know if it was the pagers he said could wait till next fiscal year, or the Lucas could wait till next
does she know?
Fiscal year. Do you know, Michelle? She kept cutting in and out.
That one I do not know for sure which one.
She didn't know for sure.
Well, there's a proposal for facility maintenance. And there's a proposal for vehicle repair maintenance.
But he probably wants to get this service agreement done in this fiscal year. But, and then the pagers.
Let's see if he'll answer.
Like to see an updated quote because I think you'd get better pricing. I mean, I think we'd get better pricing if
yeah
we four. I can't imagine that'll just double that.
Well, and they gave that 50, it had a 15% discount, so I'm assuming if we included any more, we might have an additional discount. So let's see, maybe let's just
table that until he answers. But I think that's all I had extra for Casey. Okay. Thank you, Michelle. Okay. Old business. So this is kind of back into the Casey question, the patient refusal rate for lift assist.
We've never done it, but there is on our rate sheet that we approved. I went back and looked. I think we approved the new rates in 2020 or somewhere in there, fiscal year 2021 maybe, and raised all the rates. And we, back then, we discussed about this lift assist issue and just left it alone. Didn't do anything with it, but.
Didn't we just talk about this with?
Yep. It's come up numerous times.
So I'm assuming it's something we kind of need to make an act, we need to action on, instead of just continuously moving it to every meeting.
I'd like to see something implemented, and I don't think it's about the dollar amount. I think it's that we can at least try to get something, and maybe they don't get, maybe the percentage they get paid is low. I don't know, but it takes our manpower away without.
Is this something we need to work with quick claims with, or how is that?
You would have to ultimately direct them to what your charges are, and then they would, they're not going to have to approve it. The more you charge, the more money they make. But they do say not many ambulance services charge for lift assist, mostly because, you know, it's not a Medicare or Medicaid reimbursable expense. It would be up to the individual patient. And that is
I don't know if it, Blue Cross, Blue Shield, typically insurance
transport.
Covers.
Unless you have some kind of a paramedicine
program,
which that's, you know, rising in popularity. But unless you have that, you cannot charge Medicare or Medicaid or Blue Cross Blue Shield for just lift assist unless you transport. But if you have this and you make the patient aware, as you would with, you know, signing that they're responsible if their insurance doesn't pay, and then they get a bill. And if you make a rate, I would imagine it would be less than a normal 911 call. If you know it's going to be a lift assist, and you could send the appropriate people. But yeah, we've talked about it for years, and it does drain the payroll line item.
Casey example.
Did you happen to... I'm just thinking they happen to look at a possible rate. I thought we had talked about
it. Is there a standard out there rate? I mean,
different numbers thrown out there, but nothing finalized. Like, we just want to cover $100. That's what we want to say. That's where the conversation's always been, just a flat rate.
Very casual proposal. Last time we discussed this, Dave, and I think you had thoughts on Dave, but when we were talking about this last time, and I think some number, you know, casual proposal was thrown out of, and obviously maybe giving them so many freebies, whatever that's a month or a year, but that there'd be a facility lift rate would be different from like a residential. Right? Because if they're, you know, if we're going and they don't want to take the liability in their own facility, that would have been a different category, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And we talked about it. I can't remember.
It's in the minutes.
It was 100 for and then 200 or 250 for facility.
If we're going to the minutes, and somebody off the floor, they need to pay for that.
I think we need to I think we need to move on this.
I think it's worth letting people know that it's not free. They'll get a separate bill, regardless of whether Medicare pays. And then if they want the help, they know that probably not going to get a bill the first time it happens. But instead of sending the message that you can call us anytime and it's always free, it needs to be something that people are aware of and are responsibly utilizing, because it's time, it's money, it's energy.
Yeah.
And there are those individuals who have called over 100 times for ambulance assist, knowing that there's no financial responsibility.
And I think we can utilize the same rate for KC if they go to the bunkhouse and have to lift somebody, or, you know, it's, mm-hmm. it can be this, that flat rate across the board.
It'd have to be.
I think 100 is doable. I think it makes people question whether or not that, you know, to call, but also it's a doable number, that if it truly is something that they need to call and be picked up, that it's typically something that someone could pay if necessary out of pocket. Maybe $100 and $250 for facility.
And I think we have three or four regulars right now, and one of them is kind of out in the country, by the way, but two of them are out in the country. But I think the way we would handle it, the way I'd want to handle it, is the next time we made a call there, say, okay, this is the last freebie. From now on, it's going to be $100, and not just charge them that first time.
Yeah.
But, you know, if we go to one of the care facilities, we just send them a bill straight up.
And I think what I would like to see you do is develop a letter,
mm-hmm.
That you can immediately, before anyone calls from the vet's home or Agape, that says, send them a letter right away that says, this is our new rate for lift assist. Please be aware that the next time.
Good idea.
Yeah.
And then it's not, you're not getting there, and then all of a sudden there. Because sometimes a lift assist is in the middle of the night, and the appropriate people who you need to relay the message to aren't there. And then it's sort of, we still want to have that working relationship with them.
Yeah.
And
typically the people who call for lift assist really need it.
Yeah.
I mean, and we were called once to help a lady turn on her remote for television. So
yeah.
There are some that are out there. But
it's time and manpower.
It costs us money.
Yeah. So I would like to see 100 and 100 for private, personal, and 250 for facility, and then if, as well as a letter written to them, and then if you could share that letter, so then we can change it to KC, and then KC can also have that available, and then, you know, it's a letter that maybe you stock in your ambulance to where you go to that person, and then you hand them, just so they remember, here's the letter. This is now going to happen if you call again. So we're covered in terms of that.
We need to update the patient refusal to include maybe that language in there. When we're doing assists, are they acknowledging anything, you know, that we did provide a service?
Well, the patient refusal is on a tablet now.
Right.
Yeah.
And the new Waters has added several different subcategories for different refusals, and so I think there would be one that's appropriate.
Still says assist or something on
so
there.
So on the rate sheet, that would
the
be
Waters
be
doesn't have
updated.
A lift assist in
and
it.
Is that a policy?
Needs to be applied, stuffed in, and somebody needs to talk to them.
We'd have to.
So, but it's a refusal for transfer.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, there's a system.
So then
like
we
that.
Need to.
I have another question for
I think
your
I gave
policy.
You a copy sometime along the line. I don't know.
So,
Brittany?
Yes.
Dennis had a question.
Yes, Dennis.
If you're going to make a policy, I know that KC and I know Buffalo, KC could and I know Buffalo does. We don't go get an ambulance when we have a lift assist and it's designated like that. We sometimes two cars show up, two EMTs go in, we evaluate the situation, pick them up, put them back on their chair. If we're going to make a policy where you're going to charge somebody this, now are we now required to go get an ambulance and deliver it, or is there another avenue for, we know what it is, we're going to go there, we're going to meet up, we're going to put them back, and then we're going to go home and say thank you very much? Another kink in your thing.
Dennis, it's a good point. KC won't go to a lift assist without taking the ambulance.
Fine.
They feel like that's a liability for them.
That's my only concern, too. Like, when you go out, I mean, it could be someone who this is their 100th
right
time
next
this
door,
month.
I get it.
Yeah. But my concern is maybe typically a lift assist, but now all of a sudden they're complaining of hip pain. You then have to leave, go get an ambulance for what you thought was just a lift assist. And then, so I would think maybe it's more of a liability as a lift assist to show up in a personal vehicle, just in case there truly is, all of a sudden now there's, when you go to lift them, they can't move their leg.
It doesn't happen a lot, but when we do go to the house, we always call somebody that's available that says, you know, we're going to do this lift assist. If we need the rig, we'll call you.
Oh, okay.
And so there's somebody waiting to jump in there. We get a lot of those.
It's not where you're both having to leave the patient and go get an ambulance.
We wouldn't abandon the patient.
Okay.
And we get a lot of those where people push that button that says it's an emergency, and, you know, I go to the house, just go in and reset their machine 90% of the time and leave, so we don't need a rig on those guys.
Yeah, okay.
But it's always a call-in, so I'm saying, I'm going to this house, if I need the rig, I'll call.
Back up.
And these are the ones that you're going to often, you know, that you guys are making that.
Like the one you went to over 100 times in 1 year.
Right.
Typically,
kind of understand the situation.
There also might need to be some kind of, I mean, this delves further into it, but some kind of policy in terms of after a certain number we contact
DFS
to say this may be.
That's been done.
Okay. I mean, I'd like us to change our policy for lift assist for both Casey and Buffalo EMS for $100 and $250, and then to change our rate sheet.
Do you need a motion for that?
So are we good with the liability issue then?
I think so.
I think you can still, I mean,
here's,
I guess,
Michelle.
As long as the protocol, if they have their own protocols in place.
Michelle?
So does the board want to specify what the charge is? And I mean, then you're obligated to that fee for the next 10 years unless you have another motion. I think you could also just say we're aware and approve of the policy to charge for a lift assist and not have to specify and manage the issue.
Does Buffalo EMS want us? I mean, we could set a policy for KC, but
I think
Buffalo EMS doesn't want to figure out any kind of rates because we've been through that before. So, what are you're saying? Just say, "Oh, there's a charge," and then let whoever figure out what that is.
I'm thinking the board could approve of the charge for lift assist for ambulance services, but not have to specify amounts.
Well, who determines what that would be?
Well, we don't decide what they charge for an ambulance run.
Yes, we do.
As a board?
Yes.
I don't see
Dave
that.
Dave didn't want to set rates.
Yeah, I'm not aware of we're doing that. I don't see those numbers, and I don't think I stay up to date on that.
Yeah. The board approved the rates because we've had that conversation.
Because
I don't believe Buffalo EMS wanted to be setting their ambulance rates. Am I correct?
Well, we don't get the money. The board does.
Well, that's what I'm getting at.
Yeah,
Buffalo EMS doesn't want to set the rates because the money goes to the Rural Healthcare District. Now, if Buffalo EMS wanted to, which I think is a good idea, take the receipts of the billing when something's billed, then that would go to Buffalo EMS, then they could set the rates.
Well,
that's all under the bridge.
I'm not talking about restructuring the whole system. I'm just saying, is it the board's job to decide what each service costs and have to upgrade that every year? Because I'm not aware of that.
Well, we haven't set the rates for a long time. I think they were set back in 2020, if I remember right.
June 1st of 2020.
And the board, with input from Casey and Buffalo set the rate.
So any changes in Johnson County rates will not apply for Medicare and Medicaid plans, as the rates for these two payers are federally mandated. Keep in mind that Medicare only pays 80% of allowed amount, as the patient's responsible for 20% copay. Medicare has announced that the allowable amounts will be increasing next year by 8.7, but this will not exceed your current rates. And this came from the quick claims gal.
I'm just,
might be good to go through those.
I don't know how that would work, to just say you're going to pay, but we don't know what you're going to pay.
Fine.
If you can figure out a way to make it work, I'm
good with it. Not to go backwards too much, but Dennis, when you, or Dave, when you guys do those calls and you go a couple vehicles, you know, you just pick them up, go home, do you guys then still do a report, what, maybe the next day or whenever it is? Do you?
Yes.
You do? Okay.
With the release.
Yeah, okay. Sounds good. I think that would be the determining factor there, that I think you can still charge for the service. You still picked them up. And so I don't think it throws too much of a wrench.
Can I ask something? Do you do an assessment on them at all?
Oh, yeah.
So it's not just they call to say...
You don't just pick them up, put them up, and
pick them up and get them back in bed or whatever and say, there you go.
You do a basic assessment just like
anybody else. So you're actually doing it? You're actually on a call?
Doing your job.
You're actually on a call?
I do have a question, though. If you're taking your own personal vehicle to these list assists, and you get there and you're doing a full assessment, and then they need to go to the hospital because they have a broken hip or a broken leg or have head trauma and taking blood thinners or have a syncopal episode with a loss of consciousness and they've fallen. But they, because we don't have EMD dispatching, we have no idea what we're going to when they're just calling and say, oh, you need to go to a lift assist.
Michelle, I think you might have cut out when we had this. Buffalo EMS stated that although they may show up in their personal vehicle, they have someone on standby at the ambulance barn prepared to bring the ambulance if necessary.
Okay.
And that we weren't looking to change your guys' protocol.
Okay. It did cut out because I did not hear any of that.
That's okay. I mean, I think for continuity's sake and record keeping, I think maybe if we're okay, I'm okay with doing the actual rate of $102.50 and having it in, and that way it's set, and then they can give letters and it's kind of consistent across the board as to the number. We need a motion for that if someone
would. And we should be good legally to do that. We set the other rates, we should be good.
Yeah.
I don't think so. I'll make that motion. Update our rate sheet and charge $100 for residential lift assist and $250 for any lift assist at a facility.
Second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. And then if you guys develop, Dave or Carrie,
sorry,
if you guys develop that letter, can you share it? And
yeah,
then
yeah,
it's just something that we can share.
We'll talk about the rates and the fact that Medicare won't pay and all that.
Yeah. Okay. Budget. Oh, where are we? Yeah. Budget discussion. So one of the things I would like to propose to the new budget that I apologize that didn't happen the last time is I've talked with Barry Crago, and he would like to no longer be our lawyer just for the simple fact that he has a lot going on. He's done a wonderful job, and I mentioned, like, you know, even if we pay, since he's been doing this out of the goodness of his heart, and he just said, I really don't have the time right now.
So I think somewhere within our budget, we are going to have to budget for legal fees, because I don't believe we're probably going to find someone who is so willing as Barry to provide services for free for us.
Brittany, right now we have in this new proposed budget $5,000. Doing the work on the contract and things like that, if that's going to be enough.
Okay. So I have a couple lawyers in mind who I was going to reach out to see if they'd be willing to come on as our lawyer. I don't think we need much legal advice, unless when it comes to contract and things like that. I think that's kind of mainly our biggest one, and sometimes I just have random questions that I need fielded, but a lot of times those are just super simple emails that can be answered. But I did just want to bring that to the board that Barry's no longer going to do this, so we are kind of in a crunch of finding a new person. I had in mind Bridget Geis. She's currently the school district's one, and I thought that she would be good because she kind of knows those special districts and things. She also has a good working relationship with Barry, and Barry also suggested her as she could easily call him and he could field any questions, as sometimes this special district stuff can be a different avenue. So, but if anyone has any other concerns or someone else they'd like, or
I have two items to offer. One is our expenses for legal fees over the past 6 years have averaged about $1,000 a year or $2,000 a year. There were years where the amount was $200. In 2016, it was $12,000. Mm-hmm. And in 2022, it was $5,700. So it's historically not a large budget item. And the other consideration is we have a county attorney. This is county business.
They are, according to the special district statute, we are not allowed to talk. Well, I mean, we can talk to them, but we really cannot use them as our lawyer.
And the reason we haven't had really high legal fees since about 2016, we had Sean Durant, is because Barry has been doing it pro bono from his private business. If we had to pay what Barry has contributed, it would be way over $5,000.
He's done us an amazing service for free, and I don't, I don't blame him for needing to step away.
Maybe $5,000. I don't know. That might be enough. I don't know. Depends on who we get and what has to be done.
So I can get a couple quotes, and then we can bring that back to the next meeting, and then we can have a better idea of what that might look like. But I did just want to...
For our May budget?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That way we have a better idea. But I did just want to... And I jumped ahead. I kind of took care of that new business attorney there, too. But... I did just want to add that to the budget discussion with the lawyer. So, according to the April budget timeline, this is also the time, according to the April board meeting, is when we have to approve the annual contract amount with Buffalo EMS. And then the first Monday in May is when we provide the Buffalo EMS annual contract amount in writing. Is this in the contract?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, do we have discussion on Buffalo EMS's proposal of $839,400? I think this is also an important time. If we have any public comment, I think it's important that we hear that at this time, too, as we're making a big decision. So if there's any public comment, you're welcome to raise your hand and comment. One of the things, Marie and I had another subcommittee quick meeting with Buffalo EMS today, and I would like to see personally $9,000 removed from the budget for what was budgeted for repairs and maintenance.
From the budget, from the contract?
From the contract amount.
From
the 839.
Oh, from the budget requested amount.
Yes.
Okay. And I still am of the mind that because the contract says that the Rural Health Care District will pay $1,200 a month for suitable office space for administrative operations, including utilities, office supplies, equipment, telephone service, telephone equipment, high-speed internet, and in the event that the district decides to build its own office space and provide its own utilities, the parties agree that the monthly service fee for this portion of the overall service agreement, $1,200, will be deducted from the overall monthly service fee. That's in the contract. So I personally feel like $1,200 a month, what's that, $24,000, should also be deducted from this amount.
And we're not approving the contract, right? We're just approving the contract number, and then that, I mean, so that wording could change, but that does include the barns
but
as well.
That is the existing.
In the existing contract.
Yes.
This is just number.
That would be for this fiscal year.
And I guess, but in this, and I guess I just want, in the new number, I guess there was no reference to, again, until we say, hey, we want to see kind of that itemization. It's what number do you think that you need to run it? You know, we were back and forth last month. How deep do we dive? So, I mean, again, that's in the last contract.
It's in the current contract.
I mean, in the current contract, again, I if that wasn't accounted for in the 839, I think until we see the new contract, if that same wording's in there, maybe, but I have a tough time.
Well, I can't.
This is where it gets a little bit
without that being out of there.
I just have to pose a question, because if and when you, the Rural Health Care District, builds a building and has an office, whoever contracts with you to provide ambulance services, will they be able to use that office as their office? Mm-hmm. That's my point, is until you can provide us with another office, it's still Buffalo EMS's needs an office to operate.
Buffalo EMS is a supposedly private business. So my take is it private or isn't it? And is it up to the Rural Health Care District with a contract that says that will be provided for the district as part of the district agreement? Is it the district's responsibility to see that a private business, Buffalo EMS LLC, has an office?
I would say.
And that's something.
Yeah. And we, you know, I guess maybe vastly disagree, but I mean, I would say yes, that is needed no matter who's contracting, where it's at, because, yeah, we obviously need space to park our ambulances. I think that's part of that.
That's a separate $1,200 a month or $1,500 or whatever they're
charging.
But
then then the people that we're contracting need to go inside and have a place to go bill the calls, and there's a lot of all that stuff to run it, and so we can get paid. I mean, I think an office space is needed. And
I don't think it's the Rural Health Care District's responsibility to provide an office for Buffalo EMS.
I think your total sum, as you deduct $9,000 and $14,400, is still inadequate for the service that Buffalo Ambulance is providing. So I presented a proposed cost list for a new ambulance service,
mm-hmm. I saw that.
Which was over $900,000. And I was also given another estimate that would be $1.2 million. And so, however we want to slice it, I think 839 comes close, but it's still below what most ambulance services would cost for the service provided. So I think we harm ourselves and our future potential for having a service if we deduct amounts from that and we underpay the service. Well, however you want to call it, I would say for what we're getting, this number should not be reduced, or we're underpaying the service.
Then it shouldn't, then the contract doesn't matter?
Well, we're discussing the amount today.
We are, and that's in the contract, and it's not being provided.
It's in the current contract, and not, we don't have the proposed wording, and I guess I think it's kind
it's
of...
It's a backward way of...
It is backward, but the
whole deal is messed up as far as I'm concerned.
But until we change
the
process, yeah.
Well, then I would, propose changing the contract so as not to reduce the amount.
Yeah, because I feel like the amount needs to be reduced by that amount.
This total represents a 12% increase after 2 years. It's inadequate. So whatever it needs to do to raise that to at least that amount needs to be done.
I think it's the way you look at it, whether you're looking at it.
Yeah.
I think if they said if it was the same number and the contract said, you know, we have more personnel and we need to pay more to retain people and hire good people.
And I believe that.
Yeah, I mean, but I'm
but
saying...
I don't think we should be responsible as a board using public money to pay for a contractor, a vendor. You can talk to the auditors all you want, but it's not separated out, and it gets convoluted. And if you're looking at any other... Like you said the other day, Adam, if you rent a house and the roof blows off, the renter's not responsible for that roof.
Well, we wouldn't pay for the roof.
Well, if we're renting a garage, or if we're paying for an office, and that office no longer exists because the vendor doesn't provide that service to the rural healthcare district anymore, what's the difference?
We shouldn't be paying that. Then we're going
to
have to go pay rent or build a building, and it's going to have to be our own property. So, I mean... I just think these are business expenses.
That's just my feelings on it, and I'll let everybody else have a turn.
And I think it's different when you know, this quasi, and you keep going back to it's a private entity, and then at the same time we always hedge that by saying it's not. It is this hybrid. You know, other contractors, they're out. They have multiple clients, and again, is it if you have 100 clients, each one of those I don't think is responsible for paying for some of that overhead and some of that, but they are contracted to solely serve our needs. And so, again, we have
exactly.
To
that's my point. 100% tax funded. Okay, I'm done. Yeah.
You're fine.
It's fine.
This is a discussion that needs to be
had. Well, I would just say, you know, that same paragraph that you read, Marilyn, it's yes that we have been and had been providing that suitable office, but it does say in the event that the district decides to build its own office space, provides its own utilities. That hasn't happened yet. When that happens is when this clause goes into effect.
That's really parsing it.
Dave's got to say
I'd just like to say a couple of things. One is that if you hired another contractor, he came in here, he's going to have an office. And you think for a minute that they're not going to build into their budget what it's going to cost them to run that office as a private contractor. And also, from a standpoint, taking last year as an example, rural health care really didn't pay for anything. The rural health district is funded by tax dollars, okay? Buffalo EMS and our ambulance service made more than enough from what we charge the local people and what we charge the out-of-county people to pay all of our costs. And so the taxpayers weren't hit with any expenses last year. And maybe it'll happen this year, maybe it won't, but we're, you know, we try to do whatever we can to make that happen.
I mean, the taxpayers still put into the rural health care district.
They took in more than they spent for Buffalo Ambulance. So they made money on Buffalo Ambulance last year.
We'll see if we have to take anything out of reserves. But that's my thoughts, and I'm not going to back down off of it, and the rest of you can figure out how you want to go.
I think it's important that these conversations are being had and that we're bringing all this stuff to the table. I think the biggest thing we just have to move forward with is this is business and not personal, and we, you know, need to all respect each other's thoughts and stuff as we move forward with this. With mine, and like I said, Marie and I had this conversation today with Buffalo EMS, and they were good with removing the $9,000. And the reason is, and I just want to just make sure that that's, you know, clear as to, I'm not negating anything with them. It's that it is that idea of if I rent a house from you and something happens and you make me as the renter pay for repairs and maintenance on the house. I just don't agree with that part. And that's part of where that $9,000 is coming from, is repairs and maintenance on the building that we don't own. And so I just had a hard time and reservations regarding that. And I said that at the last meeting too. Like, I have reservations for repairs and maintenance when we're already paying rent, and you wouldn't have your renter pay for a new roof. And I'm not saying they are asking us to pay for a new roof, but it is part of the repairs and maintenance of budgeting for. And so with that, I have reservations about that. And it's, I know it's not a large amount of money, it's $9,000, but it's just something that I don't feel comfortable with.
I'd like to address the office. I know the agreement does say that, but I also know that a business does need office space. And the income that they get is from what we give them. And the only additional income that they get is what they do on the out-of-county transfers. And so, therefore, because they do run the EMTs, they do run what Carrie does, and Dave coordinates everything, I think that an office allotment is important for a business, whether they have that now or not. So I personally do not have problems with, in the new contract or allowing them in their budget to have office space for Buffalo EMS. Because they do provide the EMTs for us, they provide the ambulance service for us, and they do need an office. I mean, I run an office out of my own personal thing in my business, and I think an office is a legit expense.
So if the amount is $830,400, I make a motion to approve that amount for the next fiscal year for Buffalo Ambulance.
I'll second.
I just want to make sure there's no other discussion. I don't want to cut anybody off if anyone has any more discussion that they need to have, or any
comments.
Thank you. Yeah, public comment.
I think we're tasked at, like you said, approving a number. Again, cart's maybe ahead of the horse, because we're not tasked at approving a contract right now, and we do not require them to itemize what that number, you know, is necessarily used for. That's what they need to run their ambulance, and I said until we change those protocols,
we can only go so much. We had talked with Buffalo EMS and making things more transparent, and you know, just
moving forward and making our contract a little bit more transparent in terms of it's no longer just one lump sum that we see. It's transparency. And I think that that will satisfy everyone.
They want to do that.
And that's something that they want as well, just to ensure that we all know that we're playing fair for an excellent service that we're receiving. And it's, you know, there's both sides of it with everything. And so I look forward to that, and it may be just this year where we just have to sort of take this lump sum and sort of go with it, and hopefully within the future we have, you know, starting next year as we move forward with this contract and we can agree upon the terms, we have a much better idea of how things flow, and I think that will cut back a lot of tension and things that occur, because it'll be very transparent. And we can have these open conversations to the limit, the legal limit that we can in terms of working with a private entity. There's obviously some things they can't divulge. But I just think that transparency is really going to make this next budget, I hope, better, to where we have a better idea.
I think that's part of where some of the concerns come from. I can agree with your comments there, Brittany. So what you're saying is that in this new contract that Buffalo EMS will have to provide a more detailed, transparent documentation for what they're requesting?
Yes. We had talked with them. They are in agreement with that, and I think that's something that as a board and as the county we would like to see.
Absolutely.
And they want that too. Dave's got to say.
No, just a comment. Up until this contract, that's the way it always was. Then, you know, every penny that came in was accounted for. Every penny that went out was accounted for, and the board knew it all. The last budget session, you know, we were refused that, and we said, we were told you have to take a lump sum. What will that be? So we put it together, and that's where we are. And we're happy. You know, we want transparency. You know, just because it's a board doesn't mean you're the only people who worries about public comment and public money. I pay taxes too, way too much. And, you know, I would want to know where it's going, and we're happy with that.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the reason they got the lump sum is because we were told that we weren't getting enough information to have a line item budget, because we'd get a voucher that said, this is what the payroll is this month. No indication of how that worked. We got a health insurance bill. We didn't know who we were paying health insurance for. I don't know if that's transparent. So when we started going and talking to the lawyers and stuff, the recommendation was that we go to this one lump sum. And then that's what we agreed on. Just like if you guys vote to approve this whole amount, then that's what Buffalo EMS has to operate on. And that's it. Because then you can't go back and take money out of reserves, if you get your lump sum. And hopefully we know we've got a good ambulance service. I've never not said that. And we have excellent EMTs and all that. It's more of a process procedure thing with me than anything. And so if that new contract's going to say that they're going to provide actual documentation of why they're requesting what they're requesting, then I think that's good.
And I think that's something like the lawyer will help us work through. And
right.
We'll work
and I think there's things
the
like payroll because of the privacy acts and stuff that you cannot divulge a lot of that information.
But yeah. I think that's, you know, and I appreciate the history, but I think we don't want to spend too much time on that part today.
No.
I think So we currently have a motion on the table from Dr. Schuler to approve the Buffalo EMS budget to be $830,400. And Adam has seconded.
Yep.
So all in favor of 1 year Buffalo EMS budget to be $830,400, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, same sign.
No.
Motion passes. Okay. With that, we move into Buffalo EMS contract, which I think we're sort of on. In the past, do you develop the contract and bring it to us? Okay. Where are you guys at with that?
Well, we haven't put a lot. We've gone through it and deleted some stuff and added some stuff, but we're glad to work on that. But we're not going to need it for when do we need to have that? A year from now, right?
What are we on?
I thought
other contract? Than the amendments that would reflect the 30%. There's amendments that we'll have to add with the contract, and that's that you would be paying for ambulance repairs and maintenance, and you would be paying for out-of-county transfers 30%.
What about the four-year contract?
It's a four-year contract with the terms, so that's the longevity. But you said if we can have an agreed contract, and so if we want to rewrite the fact that we're going to share every line item and all that, then it will be a little bit more in depth than just changing the percentage. And we will work on that, and we can have something by the May 8th meeting.
Yeah.
But it probably wouldn't go.
To write the contract.
It wouldn't go into effect other than the two amendments to the existing contract until July 1st of 2024.
And why is that?
Because we're approving this as is, I guess, with the current contract. Isn't that what you're thinking?
Well,
no, we our motion at the last, or our thing at the last thing was the contract was for 4 years if we could agree upon the terms of the contract. So I don't think I was under any indication that we just simply used some simple amendments.
I think it'll make it easier if we're only making small changes, but I think that my idea was, a new contract might look very similar with these new changes in there, but I think the amendments would come if we change our protocols of those would be amendments, what I would see. But we'd have that 4 year in place, and then we could add an amendment to say, to change this process for next year on some of those details. Is that what you guys understand?
That was by the next budget next year, we would be under the new contract of the transparency.
Right. Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
And the last contract was drafted by Barry Kringle.
Okay. So I think maybe what we first need to do is people help me work on finding a lawyer and moving forward with that in terms of the timeline, because that's going to be our first step. We can't draft a contract or do anything.
I think it's my understanding that the board has already met their contractual obligation when the board voted to extend, because there was a clause in there that says you have to let Buffalo EMS know within 120 days, wasn't it, if the contract was going to be...
That was just if we were going to use them as an ambulance
right,
service.
Whether if we were going to bid it out or what we were going to do. And so that obligation has been met.
Yes.
And it was agreed that a four-year term. But that's all that's happened.
Yeah. That's why I think we need to move forward with the lawyer and figure out how we start the wording on things.
And it shouldn't be that much.
No, and I don't think it hurts that, if you guys are working on your end of what
we can work on
you
our
expect
end
to see in changes, I think we're all under the understanding what the low-hanging fruit, the simple changes that need made, and what maybe are the goals we're working towards. Mm-hmm. That would be amendments.
I agree.
Within the term, I don't think it should be much for the lawyer.
I guess it depends on the lawyer's timeline of when they can start working with us, too. So, okay.
We got the template.
Okay. A new building committee, the previous board had a previous building committee. However, I would like to just propose this, I have spent a lot of time as chairman which I am fully fine with, regarding all of this stuff. And I realize this is part of the job, but I also am feeling like I'm needing some board members to pitch in and start helping a little bit more with things. And so instead of just a building committee, I would like to see all of the board on the committee. I think it's sort of a due diligence for all of us to work together. Marilyn, you have a past of knowing exactly with grants and how things went in the past. I think you're going to be a huge asset. And I just think I don't want to single people out to just be on a committee. I would like us to just work together as a board to start helping each other. Because I'm getting a little, I think now that budget stuff is thing and contract, but there's a lot put on you as chairman that I also think that we need to make sure that duties and things are dispersed among all of us is all I ask, because there's just a lot of
and then also
work that's
on that
gone on.
Building committee, some representatives from Buffalo MS will also be on that.
Yeah, and I talked, Carrie, I mentioned before, had you guys thought of anyone?
We do have a recommendation that Dave, myself, and Beth
okay.
on it. I know Dennis Thorson was on it before, and he would still be interested if you would
and I think Sean is a valuable asset, too, because he has that.
And so, yes.
And that's why I don't even think we don't even need, like, an actual committee. If we can all just work together and pool resources and pool our minds together.
The only thing, if we meet,
yeah.
if you have more than two board members meeting,
yeah.
then we have to advertise
yeah.
it as,
yeah.
a, as such. But I agree.
Yeah.
I think we can have a group of us.
Yeah. It just takes the responsibility so much off of individuals.
Yeah.
And
that would be the only point if we want to be a little more mobile and that we're not having to, because if we had a quorum, then it's an official meeting. And I'm more than happy and willing to sit on that committee if we need it. There needs to be a little more legwork.
Yeah.
I think everyone needs to be involved. It's a small enough. I mean, this is a big part of the future here, so
yeah.
I think everyone should be involved. But if we do want to utilize that committee, it could be beneficial.
Yeah,
if we're not having to advertise.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I think maybe what we need to do is figure out the legwork that needs to be done, and then we move forward. I don't know. I signed the grant
months
ago.
Agreement.
Yeah, and I sent it certified mail, but I don't know. Do we get a receipt that says that was received?
Contact in this.
Okay, so that was a while ago, but I don't know if that was received. And so, let's think about that. Let's kind of come up with ideas for our next meeting as to the legwork that needs to be done, so we can start moving with things. Okay, CMS data collection.
Well, that is just that ongoing deal that we had. They've
yes.
selected Johnson County, the ambulance or rural health care district, as one of the people that would be submitting that data. And I just want to make sure that, I don't know if Michelle's still on or what, but I want to make sure that everybody's tracking what they need to be tracking when they submit that. Because if we don't get that submitted, then there's going to be a 10% penalty on what Medicare will.
Michelle, are you still on?
That's what I read.
Yes, I'm still on.
So we just need to make sure most of that is going to be on KC, because there's a piece in there for a private, a contractor. But I just want to make sure that we're on top of that. And then the other one.
Let's wait a minute. Michelle, are you good with what she's talking about? And are we on top of that?
I know that Crosby has this information on where we're supposed to be reporting and all this stuff.
Okay. I'll follow up.
Yeah, but we track that stuff every month.
Okay.
Yeah, so I think we'll be okay. But
and is that webinar on the 20th part of this?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
And then the other one was this National Cybersecurity Report. Digitech, Don DeVore from Digitech, did the cybersecurity report for the rural healthcare district. The reason that's important to have is because if you're looking at, like the radio grant, where that's federal money filtering down, if you don't have a national cybersecurity survey report, then you don't qualify for some funding. So it's really important to have that. And it did show it, the first time they did it, Dawn worked with Carrie and I, it had some good information in it that we were able to have some good discussion on. But I just wanted to let the board know that that has been completed.
Perfect.
Is that an annual thing?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Wonderful. Thank you. Any more old business?
Well, we have more discussion on the budget.
Sure.
Because in our May meeting, we have to approve the preliminary budget. So I want to address a couple items.
Okay.
So the legal fee is going to be estimated at $5,000. It could be wrong, but from what I understood, that's what we're going to go with. That's about midway on our preliminary budget discussion sheet. Itemizing vehicle maintenance and repair expenses, and for Buffalo and for KC, doesn't matter to me. If it matters to somebody else, then it'll be a line item and it can be broken down if that's important. Does anybody care?
I think it's okay. Just
together.
Put it all together.
Because they're all owned by the district. I don't know that it matters.
Right. I think it won't necessarily be part of KC's budget request because it'll be a county-wide district expense. Capital outlay is, I guess you could say, another item, and that falls in the same consideration. We're buying equipment for ambulances and for EMTs. Do we need that to be specified as to which end of the county it goes, or is it all one budget item?
So I'm glad you brought this up, because I apologize, I forgot this, but I talked with Cindy, who did the audit, and she said capital outlay is money spent to maintain, upgrade, acquire, or repair assets, similar to a repairs and maintenance account.
Is it redundant then? Do we no longer need two lines? Because I think
said repairs and maintenance.
I think as a board, you think about buying new things under capital, and you think about fixing old things under repairs
and maintenance. Yeah.
Does that help? Well, it seems to help me a little bit.
I like having it. I don't care if it's in district wide or KC's are separated out. That doesn't necessarily matter to me, but I do like having a line item where we can look and say, this is what's being requested for us, whether it's a equipment purchase, I don't know, capital outlay. Most of the time it's some kind of high dollar equipment that each service needs. So
the $5,000 right now, is that's the service of LifePak service agreement though?
That was clear back in 2021.
Oh, okay. Was that a purchase? Okay. Well,
yeah.
We had $1,500.
You're requesting a new LifePak this budget session, right?
Yes.
So that's for a new one for this going forward.
Okay.
Do the auditors care? I mean, when they say capital, what their definition is there?
I said, what is cap? Because that was kind of our question. And so it just depends on, I mean, money spent to maintain, upgrade, acquire, or repair assets. So to me, like, repairing asset would be, like, for KC's facility maintenance, right? Repair the bar, repair the, that's to me a repair of asset. So I wouldn't think it would need to be under both facility maintenance and capital outlay. But I don't, I can ask better. Yeah, I can ask more.
Yeah, I think getting a better definition of that, but maybe recommendations from them.
I think that gets too long. I mean, again, Casey and Buffalo, I think those are good to capture together, but I'd like to see, you know, ambulance repairs and maintenance. I think that's easier to have that line item, and I would rather use the capital outlay for, you know, capital purchases like life packs, you know, Lucas devices.
Power load, power cots, rate, you know.
Yeah, kind of the one-off.
Because, like, the portable, yeah, I don't know. That's a hard one. I'll ask more.
While we're tired.
I think just ask them.
Yeah.
Okay. Take their recommendation.
While we're on that, just on that, the Lucas service agreement, I think
the update. Crosby texted back.
Okay.
And said, because I said, were the pagers for this fiscal year or the Lucas repair? And he said the pagers. So the Lucas would move into the next fiscal year.
Okay. Perfect. I guess, so then we might want to account for if we can get an updated quote and include all four Lucases in there. Again, I think that's a decision we need
add
to make next
to
month.
Budget.
But we're going
to
need to probably add some money to equipment.
Maintenance agreements, which is $8,000 under the current. We could assume about another four.
Dr. Shore, are you looking at radio tower maintenance agreement that's $8,000, or is there equipment maintenance agreement that's $8,000 too? Okay, I see.
So we've already budgeted for that. So what else would the equipment maintenance be? You said part of that was up there.
Yeah, those monitors.
The monitors have to be redone.
Is that enough?
There's a maintenance agreement probably on the power cuts.
Well, it's probably going to depend on.
Well, we don't have a maintenance agreement on the power cuts. We just have the warranties.
Okay.
But the $8,000 is for the life packs.
Yeah.
So you would need to add $4,000 most likely.
That would have to go up for the Lucases.
Yeah,
and we can rebalance with $9,000 off of the EMS contract.
So there's one other item to address on budget, and then I'll send new numbers to Teresa, and we'll have an updated version for approval in May, and then I'll plug these into the State Board of Audit forms, which are different and are about 7 pages. So those are then submitted to the clerk and reviewed in June and submitted after the budget hearing in July. We've talked about reserves. I've looked up the definition to try to determine what is in reserves and what is the rest of the money in the bank. And according to the manual on the state website, which is upgraded to about 2014, reserves are those funds that are already allocated for the capital expense, like a building or land or the new ambulance. And that money is designated and it's not free to be spent on other things. So currently we've got two items that are designated as reserves. That is $417,000 for land. And I can't find the minutes from that or when that went into that, but looking back through old budget data, I saw that number. And then we've approved $250,000 for the purchase of an ambulance, and that's in the current proposal, reserves ambulance purchase. So added together, that's $667,000 that's committed. The rest of these funds, which are about $1.2 million beyond that, are general funds. Some of it's in CDs, some of it's in money market, some of it's in checking. Those are not reserves, those are general funds. Those are for paying bills. We have no debt service. That's as clear as I can get from the manual at the state audit website. Our auditors may have more information, but...
So our reserve... You said ambulance purchase. So ambulance purchase is on its own.
should we put that into the reserve?
Well, it's identified as reserve, and the previous board has identified 417,000 for land.
So that's just not reflected on this.
Can I clarify that a little bit?
Sure.
In our April 2020 minutes, we identified $500,000 to go from, like you're saying, the general fund to move into, we called it capital construction line, basically, but reserve to allocate that. We used 83,000, something like that, out of that 500, and that's where you're coming up with the $400,000. That's
so it's building / land, right. Ambulance barn,
new construction.
And so this says that Jim Hicks made a motion for the chairman to appoint a building committee to build an ambulance barn and not spend more than $500,000 with the money to be taken out of reserves.
Yeah.
So technically, it wasn't in reserves. It was in general fund.
Yeah.
And it was put into a reserve fund.
Okay.
And I don't know that the board has actually always done that correctly either.
Well, it's terminology.
Your point is well taken.
But trying to be accurate for the sake of the budget. All right. Well, that clarifies what I need to know, and we can...
Can I add one more thing?
Sure.
So I asked them about the building, and because we had a question about the building line item. And she said that we should create an account for each revenue source and record all revenue received from reimbursements. We need to also create an expenditure account and record all expenditures in that one account. And we need to budget for the entire amount of the project.
Mm-hmm. We have to have that.
If the board is going to go forward with the
project and do anything in this next coming year, now or in the next coming year for sure, it has to be in this budget.
That's what she said. And I'll forward you that email that she sent me, Dr. Schuler. So it's kind of confusing as that's talked about. But,
and we kind of discussed that.
Whether or not we put
at a work session.
That was a question.
Put the reserve at the top and add it to the reserve at the bottom.
And well, those were the two questions she answered for me.
I'm not sure I'm understanding what that actually means. Does that mean we're taking out of the general fund and putting more into the building fund?
Well, we will be receiving
The grants,
so we're adding. And I'm not exactly on how it goes in the books, but we would be, that money sits at the state. We spend it. They reimburse.
So if we just add that to our reserves for the building, have we done our accounting?
To me, it kind of looks like it, but I can't say that for sure. I don't know.
How is that?
Because it's going to have to be, it's all going to have to be tracked within,
right.
I mean, so it's almost like an account, which almost like a separate
That's
checking
what it
account
sounds
should
like.
Be set up and then run everything through that. And so then if there's a bill paid through the Rural Health Care District, it should come
from that account. That's the way it kind of sounded in this.
Now, how that works in tying it in here, I'm not sure.
Could we do if we're having to separate it anyways, maybe not all of it, but could we do a separate CD and take advantage of the 4%, some of those rates right now?
But we...
It's a reimbursable, so we don't actually have that.
I didn't know. What were we talking about? Do we need to separate our 413,000... Or 417,000.
Well, clarify.
If only on paper, but it's probably better to take that and put it in.
Because then we could add
whatever account that the
to those
grant
reserves.
Goes into and expenses are taken out of.
Makes it clearer.
Because we have to be, there's quite a bit of reporting that has to be done, and he'll have to be really on top of it.
Yeah, if that's restricted anyways, I mean, it might be good to have that already going, and then we can just add.
And she said, even though you are getting reimbursed for some of the expenditures, you want to budget for the entire amount of the project.
Yeah.
Oh.
So we have to find out what the entire...
We've
got to get the architect.
Another meeting, but...
Yeah.
It's apparent that that building is going to be easily in the $2 million range. That's the word on the street, without getting fancy. So if you look at what we have on hand with the grants, we can cover that, but we don't have a lot of money left in the bank. And that's possibly going to get better going forward with revenues from taxes, motor vehicle, etc. But costs are going up too.
So why do we wait, the higher it's going
to
be?
We also need to look at how much can we afford to spend without depleting our general funds and limiting our day's cash on hand. And what do we do if we need more? Is that a loan? Is that a guarantee from the county? I don't know how that works. The other entity I've been involved with has borrowed money from local banks. So anyway, that's going to be part of our building discussion.
Yeah, have to be.
But if you've got $875 and you look at what we're sitting on now in general funds, minus the reserve we've allocated of $417, you still have about $800,000 to come up with. If your building is $2 million, and if it's more, then you got more. And we've got about 1.3 after you take out.
I think we need to get some estimates.
Yeah,
I think
we're going to take out
250. We need to hire the architect.
Yeah, we need
and get the dollar amounts, because this thing wasn't meant to be a Taj Mahal. It's very basic. It was a Cleary building, a metal Cleary building is what the idea was. And they've been going up just like everything else. So, but there's a lot of things that go with that.
So who was the architect for the county fire structure? Who does the county use for other facilities like that? Road and bridge, those sort of things?
I don't know.
I don't know. Bill's gone. I don't know.
Who they use?
That's something we could
The fire department was...
That was built by...
Three-way construction, mm-hmm. and it was a Cleary or a Morton building. But that's fairly old.
So I think Joe Hall could give us suggestions on who might be a good...
Well, so there's a draft RFP sitting out there. And you put that in the paper, and then Joe Hall has to be careful, because I've talked to them, and they have to be careful about giving advice if they're going to bid on being the...
No, I meant recommendations, as because I don't know, they're a structural engine. Well, I don't...
Yeah, but in order for them to
right.
It's what I'm saying, they've got to be careful about that. But until we have an RFP out there and select a...
So how do we get the RFP out there?
We get it in the newspaper. But we got to figure out if we're moving forward or not first.
Well, was there any doubt that we weren't moving forward?
But if we don't have a location identified, are we moving forward or aren't we?
I thought we had already... approved the county fire location.
I think we tried to put a timeline on that we need to either go with that or identify another location, and that's the kicker. But I think the discussion was we got to put a book in on this and move forward. But no, that was the end of that special meeting or whatever the work session was. So I think the building committee, I think that maybe needs to be another either special meeting or get the committee going, or but if we're gonna get together to form that committee and have these specific conversations, then it will be a quorum.
I mean, I think we need to start moving, and we obviously can't find another location and be have it tomorrow. I've spoke with a couple realtors, and they said even if you find a location yesterday, you're still months down the road before you
You're just months down the road.
You're months down the road before you even close on the property, they said. So I think we just need to start moving forward. We are all in agreement of the... I don't think it's something that needs to be voted on because it's already been purchased. We were all... The whole board was in agreement for that location. And I say we put the RFP out there tomorrow. Can we delegate that to you to do
you,
some sort of...
I would like to have the board, this new board, review it.
Review the RFP?
Yeah, okay. And I would like to make sure that the verbiage in it is correct, because there's some things in there. If you're using federal money, you can't ask the architects to do certain things, like provide a dollar amount. There's some clauses in there, and I don't want to just throw that out there and have that come back on the rural healthcare district that we didn't do the RFP correct. So I can send out the draft that the previous board had, and then you all can review it, and we can kind of go from there, maybe at the May meeting.
Well, because it's already been voted on, right? The last board voted on it.
To send out the RFP?
Like what you established, the RFP. It's already,
The board didn't, the previous board saw the draft, but they did not approve or vote to put it in the paper or move forward with it.
Okay.
So it's just out there.
Okay. So if you'll send that, and then we can start moving forward, because then how long do RFPs, how long does it take?
Well, you have to... Through the advertisement, you have to give them, I don't know what it is, there's a set day, and then you got to wait for them to send in their proposal, and then you got to meet with them, read the proposals, open those, and then you got to meet with them and decide which company you want to use, because it's federal money.
Yeah. Okay.
So here's what I've come up with from a finance perspective. If this building is $2 million, and we've paid for the land, and we have $417 in reserves and $875 in grants, and we can afford to spend down our general fund to 120 days cash on hand, mm-hmm. which is, I don't think you can go any further than that.
Mm-hmm.
You've got $1.65 million. So you're probably not done finding money for this building yet. And something has to happen. We either have to collect revenue between now and completion, or get some kind of loan or guarantee.
Or we look at phasing a project, and phase one is 1.65, or even without the reserves, and 1.2 or 1.3, and then phase two, and we make sure the piece of land, it has the space, or the way this is set up is that we plan for a phase two, and that's not ideal. I'd much rather, I think it's more cost effective to not do that, but if we don't have the money, then that might be something we need to consider. But I think we can get that RFP updated regardless of the location, even though I think we're all, there's just not another option. We've had this discussion. One pops up in the next, I just think we need to establish that bookend, get this updated, and then either have that other meeting to formally say,
yeah.
I mean, I know we're close to that, just because there isn't another, there just isn't something else right now reason, you know, we're struggling to math it out to build a building, and these other locations are $400,000, you know.
And the architects can't really come up with any kind of pricing until
we couldn't release their RFP until we, you know, had the location, yeah. But we could at least make sure it's updated.
I say we, you sent it out, we updated it, we move forward as quickly as we can, and then we see what they say.
Well, and Sean did have some suggestions of alternate building, you know, going up more than out, which would save on concrete. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so there might be some other options.
The only concern with some of that, though, too, is that when you're using federal money, there might be some ADA requirements.
Right. You have to have
in terms of,
there is.
You know, yeah. But, okay, let's move forward with that.
Okay.
All right. Yes.
You know, I'm repeating myself, and I apologize. But, you know, it's a lot of money, and nobody in my group, my crew, is in favor of that location. And I would urge the board, Dr. Schuler and I went and looked around at some different places, and it's going to be a little more money to put them there because you have to buy the land, but you're going to get money back from this land. But if you know, it's if you build a building, it's going to be there for a long, long time. And $100,000, $200,000 here or there, I mean, right now, isn't going to make that much difference. So I would urge you to reconsider that location because, none of my crew thinks it's a good idea, and we're the ones running to that place every time the phone rings.
We had a lot of conversation about that, and so I appreciate that. However, I put this back on you a little bit as their leader, and your crew will follow and role model what you, and so I think if you role model that this is where it's going to be, this is what we need to adapt to, I think that they will move forward with that. Again, this isn't happening tomorrow. We've looked at other options. We don't have the money to do other options at this time. And so the board has all been in unanimous vote about that decision down there. We've also been backed by city and county officials. They've written letters of support for that as well. And so while I am sensitive about that, I've mentioned over there's no prime location. And we've talked about ways to go about this. I know board members have commented in the past. I read some things where they said, like, if you guys are struggling, you can leave an ambulance at Buffalo EMS current location if you're worried about that commute time during the day. And so I just think there's ways that we can work through this together. But I mean, I am sensitive to that. I think we all are. But at this time, it is our best location with what we have.
Well said, and I'll reiterate, we looked at other locations, and there, when you go to another entity after you've looked at it and discourage them from working with you, well, I mean, what do you expect?
So I don't want to go down that rabbit hole, so we'll move forward. With new business, Audi County transfer new percentage. I think we've already kind of hit on that. That'll be developed with, we voted for that already, I believe, too.
Well, we couldn't actually make the motion last, or we couldn't
make the motion. It was a work session.
Last time at the work session.
And so we said 30%?
Yeah.
It seems to me it's already been approved. I mean, if you're going to approve District Buffalo EMS contract for $839,400, that additional 30% was already figured in, wasn't it? Was it separate?
This
$839,000 won't be accurate?
No, this is separate.
This was anticipating what our next year's budget would be, but it doesn't reflect in that
just like currently, it's the number 750,000, but that out of county transfer reimbursement is separate, so it's just a percentage of what that looks like.
It's a different revenue stream.
Okay. Because it seems to me like it ought to all be in the same.
Well, this is work above what's required for the county. This is helping out the VA or Sheridan Hospital or somebody else who needs an ambulance.
And that's coming into the Rural Healthcare District budget, and then the Rural Healthcare District is writing a check to Buffalo EMS for their 15% right now.
Right.
But in this new budget, it will be writing a check for 30% more, right?
Right.
Correct.
So
that was the conversation.
That increases our bottom line then.
Only if we make an out-of-county transfer. If we don't make any transfers, no money goes anywhere.
Okay.
I'll make the motion to change the out-of-county transfer reimbursement percentage to Buffalo EMS to 30% for the coming contract term.
Is there a second?
I'll second that.
All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Marilyn, you didn't vote.
I didn't vote. I'll vote present.
Can you do that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Excuse me, Madam Chair.
Yeah.
And I would urge, I don't know if this is appropriate or not, but I'm going to go with it. I would urge the Buffalo Bulletin to get the figures right this time. They put in the last paper that we were going to get 50% of all transfers. That's what we were asking for. And it's 30% of only out-of-county transfers. Exactly.
Okay. We already discussed the attorney audit report. I will table this till the next meeting. She's still working on the audit report. There's some forms and stuff that she needs. But otherwise, she's still working on that. So we'll table that till the next meeting. Patient request. There was a patient request from a patient who is working with the VOA, and let me pull it up real quick. And he is not able to have insurance, and he is currently working, and he's Jason, now I probably can't find it.
Do you need it?
And so he's currently, so overall the question was if he could make a payment. He's already been sent to collections, so that's where this gets confusing to me. Once they get sent to collections, how we work with them.
Call the collection company. If you decided that you wanted to help him out, however he or she or whatever, then the collection company would have to be notified.
I'm sorry, I had it here.
Here, Brandy.
Oh, thank you very much. So he is writing to request reduction. He was transported to Billings and was charged $7,436. The bill is currently in collections. I'm not going to say where he's worked, but he's been there employed for over 15 years. He earns less than $22,000 a year, and he does not have medical insurance and does not qualify for Medicaid and is not of the age to be eligible for Medicare. He has set up a monthly budget with his VOA case manager on how to take care of this debt, and he would like to pay something. However, he's not able to afford the entire amount. He asked if he consistently makes a $75 a month payment for 1 year, would we consider reducing the ambulance bill down to $900 due to his financial limitations and lack of insurance? He's currently in collections.
Yeah. Do we know what Medicare?
Well, the last one we did, which was a pretty similar, was like $2,000.
Yeah,
about $2,000.
Yeah.
For the same scenario.
I thought it sounded pretty much like that last one. And he wants to...
He wants to pay $75 a month and bring it down to $900.
I'd like to see it go closer to that Medicare reimbursement if that's what, you know, if we're wanting to consider discounting it.
Okay.
You know, and I'm okay. If $75 is what he can afford, but maybe that's two years.
For 2 years. Instead of
or whatever that, yeah, okay. That would be...
Is there any other discussion?
I'm comfortable with that. I'm a little leery of having to do this multiple times every month.
Because I don't think this has happened that much in the past, has it?
Not a lot.
Yeah.
And not that much. Either.
What was the transfer for? Probably doesn't matter, but...
He was transported to Billings, so it was obviously something pretty medical.
But he's back and able to work.
I don't know.
Yeah.
So of the last month's runs...
This was, the letter came February. So
we had 15 Medicare, 4 Medicaid, 5 insurance, 2 self-pay, and 3 VA. So 2 out of 47... It's a limited number. It's a small percentage, according to the March data. Uninsured health care is a disaster for everyone. And what's the county's responsibility? I think that's probably a reasonable policy because you're going to get this question multiple times. It's
probably more and more.
If somebody doesn't qualify for Medicare, but the county's willing to subsidize the rest of their ambulance care by taking a monthly payment up to that amount, are we being responsible to the taxpayers by creating that discount? I will say that transfers are the more expensive part of EMS, and perhaps that $7,000 reflects a lot of uncompensated care and a price that's higher than it should be, but that's another discussion. Hopefully it's not a large percentage of the total and it's not a frequent problem. And having not been on the board before, I don't know if it has been. We've had 2 requests in 5 months.
I don't recall it ever being like a real burden, you know. Every once in a while we get one. These seem a little higher than what we've been asked to write off before, but I'm not opposed to doing the $75 a month and seeing if he can go 2 years.
And I think we have to look at them case to case because obviously if someone's
doing
well, you know, you got to look at them individually.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think we need to put a few more protocols in place just in case where there's maybe a more of a somewhat of an application? I mean, are we able to validate some of this information that, and again, I'm sure it's at collections and certain things, but just to hedge this from becoming a problem that we're verifying these facts are right and they are in financial distress and
like submit a form to the board, an actual
application.
Maybe whether that's a W-2, whether that's just some things to say, okay, we see what you're saying. We understand, this is, you can do this much a month and we'll try to work with you.
That's a good idea.
I think that's a bad idea at all.
That's going off of the letter.
I know if you want to get medication under patient assistance, you submit tax returns and
there's quite a bit of paperwork involved. Not that we'd really like to undertake that, but
you just fill out an application and attach.
Make it a little bit more difficult.
A little verification, or yeah.
Well, it just makes us, we're doing our due diligence of ensuring that this is true, and
yeah,
you know,
or it's not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So until we get that, or we had mentioned $75 for 2 years, if possible. Right?
Right.
Okay. So can someone make a motion for that?
I'll make a motion to that.
Okay. And the second?
I'll second that.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion passes. And so, Teresa, could you contact collections and see what our step is? Like where this is, what our next step is for that, please.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay, any more new business? Any more public comment?
I need these signed.
Oh,
the minutes and vendor approval needs initialed in the bank statement.
Oh, you did, okay. There's that back for you. And this executive session will take 2 minutes.
So are you ready for a motion to go into executive?
I'm ready for a motion to go into executive session.
I will move that we go into executive.
Second.
I'll second it.
Okay, we will move into executive session.